As Pastor Dan mentioned in the children's message, and as we heard from our reading, our opening hymn, and as we look up here, today we are talking about, what's this season? Epiphany. And Epiphany, the 12th day of Christmas, if you can kind of do the math, what day of the calendar year should that be? January 6th. I want you to drill that into your head because that is a very important day for two reasons. The first is what we're talking about this morning, where we celebrate the wise men coming to visit the child of Jesus. The second reason is that 38 years ago, in the city of St. Louis, which we could say is the Bethlehem of the Midwest, someone somewhat great was born. Me. All right. Yes, I'm an Epiphany birthday, which if you grow up in a pastor's family like me, that is a great thing because that means all the pastors in my family, they might forget their own kids, but they always remember mine. But I can honestly say I've never received gold, frankincense, or myrrh. But today, yes, we are talking about the wise men and coming to visit the Christ child. And there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of traditions that have been passed down about these wise men. You know, I brought these from our Christmas set at home. And interesting, we've got the three of them, we've got the camel. But I want to know today, how much do you know about the wise men, about the Magi? So I put together on the back of your worship folder a pop quiz. Now, if you look at number one, the question is, what do we know about the wise men? As we go through, I want you to just circle or just take a mental note of any of those statements that you believe are true. All right? Now, if you get these wrong, that's fine. You're not being graded. All right, you can even lie to me when you leave and say you got them all right. All right, so let's look at them. Letter A, they came from the east. B, they were descendants of the sons of Noah. C, one of them was from Ethiopia. D, there were three of them. E, their names were Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. F, they rode camels. G, they were kings. H, they were part of an ancient line of powerful priests from Babylon and later Persia. I, they were prophets. J, they were at the stable to meet the newborn Jesus. And K, if they had been wise women, they would have stopped to ask for directions much earlier and got to Bethlehem much sooner. All right. Got the ones circled? Now, perhaps you've heard some of those before. Let's have been passed down. Well, which one is true? Which ones are true? Well, I'm going to let you in a little hint. Only one is 100% true. And that is letter A. They came from the east. How do we know that? Well, let's turn to our gospel. It says in verse 1, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that. All the rest have been passed down in traditions, but it is not in Scripture. But where did those come from? Well, let's briefly go through them. B, they were descendants of the sons of Noah. That means that these three guys were directly descended from one of the sons of Noah. So each son, different heir. Is there truth to that? Well, absolutely. Because if we look at the great flood in Genesis, who was left? Noah and his family. So we all are descended from Noah's sons. But most biblical scholars really question if there was a direct lineage that they were aware of. All right, so to the next one. One of them was from Ethiopia. This one is also very common. I did a little research this week and found out if you go to Ethiopia, Epiphany is a huge celebration, especially in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. They really hold on to this idea that there was a wise man from Ethiopia. This probably goes back to the idea, to the fact that during the Old Testament time, there was a number of followers of God in the kingdom of Sheba, which is in Ethiopia. Could a wise man have come from Ethiopia? Well, sure. Do we know for a fact? No. In fact, there are lots of nations who claim that a wise man came from there. In fact, Christians in China have long argued that one of the wise men was Chinese. Again, could it be true? Maybe. But does the Bible say? No. All right, let's go to the next. This is probably one of the most common. There were three of them. Right? One, two, three, and a camel, right? Now, where do we get that idea? Well, there were how many gifts? Three. So we figure one gift per wise man. But what if a couple of the wise men were a little short on cash and they went halvesies? Right? Hey, Jaspar, you want to kick in for the frankincense? Yeah, let's work them together. Right? Or perhaps some have even argued maybe there were many wise men who presented the same gift. We don't know. We do know that it says wise men, so there had to at least be two. Could there be 20? Sure. Why not? And if you think of the journey that they had to make from Persia or the former Babylonian Empire, that was a long journey in a world that wasn't very safe. They probably had to bring a large caravan of people, maybe bodyguards, servants. So were there just three? I don't know. It's a good hypothesis. Three gifts, three men. But again, it doesn't say in our scriptures for sure. Their names were Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. How many of you heard those names before? Okay, that's a long-standing tradition. In fact, it goes all the way to the 7th century, found in a Greek document. And in the 8th century, they actually found a document of Irish origin that talks about these names. Although I believe for that one, Balthazar's last name was MacGregor, but that's another story. Again, we don't know. Those names have been passed down, but they kind of first appeared in the 7th century. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that when the wise men showed up, they weren't wearing name tags. Right? So again, possibly true, but Scripture does not tell us. They rode camels. Right? We've got the camel. Very, very possible. But if they came from Persia, there's also a strong possibility that they would have taken Persian horses. In fact, they could have even walked. Or at least some of the members of the caravan might have walked. Which might also explain why it could take a long time. Because you can only go as fast as the slowest person in your group. One thing we do know for sure is they did not drive or take an airplane. All right? Which makes us perhaps question how wise they really were. All right. Gee, they were kings. Right? We sing the song, We Three Kings. Okay, this idea really began to appear in about 200 AD. The idea that they were kings who had come to worship. Some even would go on later to describe them as the king of Persia, Arabia, and India. Some legend said that they didn't come together. They all just kind of met right there in Bethlehem. They all had been just on this journey after seeing this star. Were they really kings? Again, we don't know. Historians are very doubtful that they were actual kings. They very possibly could have had high positions in kingdoms. But the fact that maybe they were kings, again, we don't know. They were part of an ancient line of powerful priests from Babylon and later Persia. This one is very, very much believed to be true by many historians. Some do disagree, of course. But it comes from a long, long, long tradition of wise men in this part of the world. You see, if we look back into the book of Daniel, when Daniel is taken by King Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon, you will see that Daniel becomes the chief of what group? The wise men, the magi. And these wise men, they were more than just a bunch of smart guys. They were astrologers, astronomers, even interpreters of dreams. And they are a very powerful group. And it is believed that they were also religious leaders. And we especially see this later when the Persian Empire comes into boom. And the Persians also have wise men. And it is believed that these wise men, these magi, where we get the word magician, that they were the leaders of the Persian religion, which would fit very well into this idea that for a long time, these wise men were very powerful, were almost priest-like. In fact, they were so powerful in Persian kingdoms that historians have found that before a king was crowned, they had to be approved by the wise men. So they were the makers of kings. But again, we don't know for certain that the wise men, the magi who showed up in Bethlehem, were of this same priestly line. All right, next one. They were prophets. Now, they are not prophets in the biblical sense that we've looked at prophets throughout the Old Testament. But there is a very, very, very high chance that they had read writings of the Old Testament prophets, especially Daniel. You see, Daniel wasn't just chief of the wise men. At one point in the Babylonian Empire, he saved the wise men. They were going to be executed, and he convinced the king not to do it. So they probably held Daniel in a high regard and his writings and the writings that he brought with them. And if we especially look at the journey, we can speculate that perhaps one of the reasons they were so keen to follow this star is because they had read some of those prophecies. They had seen the timeline that Daniel lays out in Daniel chapter 9 about the coming of the Anointed One. They had been waiting for this king. J, they were at the stable to meet the newborn Jesus. Now, we've all seen the picture, right? You've got the shepherds on one side, Mary and Joseph, some sheep, a donkey. Although the donkey is, again, there's no fact to that. And then you've got the wise men over here. It's a beautiful scene, most likely not true. Right? Most historians believe that the wise men came anywhere between 4 months to 2 years after Christ was born. How do we know this? Well, if we go back to our gospel, does it say they went to the stable? No, what does it say? They went to the house where the child was. Now, if it took anywhere between 4 months to 2 years, I'm going to guess that Mary and Joseph, after the night Christ was born, Mary didn't turn to Joseph and say, "You know what, Joseph? This stable's pretty nice. Why don't we just stay here? This is our residence." Right? No, they found a house. Now, why do we think up to 2 years? Because afterward, when the wise men don't go back to Herod, he orders that terrible decree that all baby boys in Bethlehem, 2 years and younger, are to be killed. So, it's a long journey. It could have taken months. So for 1,000 miles that they traveled. So most likely they were not there the night that Christ was born, but sometime, maybe even quite a bit later, afterward. And then finally, K, about the wise women. All I'm going to say is I once read a saying that I think has some good truth. Behind every great man, there's a woman rolling her eyes. So do we know a lot of facts about the wise men? No. We do know they came from the east. We know they were Gentiles. They were not Jews. In fact, most likely, they were not even followers of God. They were pagans. And at least one of them knew a lot about astronomy. And probably one of them, if not all, had read some prophecies to create this excitement for this journey. But one thing also that we are for certain about is that they were on a mission. They were seeking something very, very important. And what was it that they were seeking? Well, if we turn to our gospel, they make it very clear when they arrive in Jerusalem. If you look at verse 2, where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? What are they seeking? The new King of the Jews. Now just think about that for a minute. Were the Jewish people at this point in time a powerful kingdom? know. Remember, they were living under the Roman Empire. They were oppressed. They had been oppressed for quite a while. In fact, we could say that the Jewish kingdom had not been a powerful force since the time of Solomon. And so why would these men travel all this way from the east to see this new king of a kingdom that's really not that relevant in the world at that time? You know, they get there and they see Herod and they don't seem to be too impressed with him, do they? They want to see the new king. Well, why? Because it's more than just a king of a kingdom on earth. They are looking for the greatest king, the king of all kings, which goes back to the idea that they probably read the scriptures from the Old Testament where Daniel talks about the King of Kings, where Isaiah mentions the wonderful, wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, if you had read that, perhaps then you'd be more willing to travel 1,000 miles to see this new King of the Jews, wouldn't you? Because this wasn't just some son of Herod. This was someone special. And if you had been following the timeline from Daniel chapter 9, you had been waiting for this special child to be born. And you weren't going to miss it. You were going to risk it all to make this long journey. Because this child was worth the trip. And how did they make that journey? As Pastor Dan talked to the kids this morning, what do they follow? A star. A star. Remember, they were experts in astronomy, astrology. Stars were their life. And there's a lot of debate, as Pastor Dan mentioned, about this star. Whether it was a planet with a low orbit, two planets aligned, a supernova. Some even say, well, maybe the star was only revealed to the wise men. We don't know. But there is a strong likelihood that these wise men perhaps read the passage that we heard this morning from Numbers. And if you read that passage, what does it say? A star shall come out of Jacob. This prophecy made by Balaam. If you don't remember Balaam, this wicked prophet for hire, you might remember his talking donkey. And instead of cursing the Israelites, he gives a blessing. God causes him to bless them. And perhaps these wise men, they saw this. And they look up at the heavens and they see this star and they go, oh, this is it! They put it together. This is the star that shows us this king. We've got to see this. Now think about what they're risking by making this journey. 1,000 miles, deserts, wilderness, areas of the world you probably never have been. They're leaving behind perhaps important positions in their own kingdoms. But they have got to take the trip. Because even if there's the slightest possibility that this star is showing us this King of Kings, we have to be there to see Him. And so they make the trip, don't they? They take the journey, however long and slow it was. And when they get to Jerusalem, they can't see the star. And so where do they go? The palace! Because where are you going to find the new king? The palace! Right? And they get there, and they ask King Herod. If you remember anything about the Christmas story, Herod is the bad guy, isn't he? He's the ultimate bad guy. Herod, the one who has already killed several of his sons and one of his favorite wives simply because they were becoming more popular than him. Herod, who is always looking to squash out any chance that someone would take over his kingdom. And so they get to Herod. They say, where is this king of the Jews? And I'm sure Herod was very interested. So he gets the chief priests, he gets the teachers, and they're pouring through scripture, and they find in the book of Micah that this ruler shall come out of Bethlehem. And Herod says, you need to go to Bethlehem, guys. But hey, after you, come back, tell me. I want to go and visit him. I want to go back and kill him. And so they go. And they leave the palace, They leave the king, Herod, to find the new king. And the star comes back in the sky, and it guides them right to the house where Christ is. Now just imagine, you've made over 1,000-mile journey. You've been studying, waiting for this King of Kings, this great, great leader, this amazing, amazing child. And where do you go? A little house in a city of shepherds? I'm sure this house was nothing to really advertise. Maybe it was a rental. And they get to the house. And you know, if it was me, and I had made this trip, I might look at the surroundings, look at this house, look at the environment, look at this young mother, this simple carpenter standing there, and think, come on, God. Are you serious? This is the new king? Here? What kind of kingdom is this? But do we get that from the wise men? Not at all. No, what does it tell us in Matthew? That they came in and they worshiped him. They gave him the gifts. Why? Didn't they notice the dirt floor? Didn't they see the lack of golden thrones? Guards? There were none. But why? Because friends, when you are in the presence of Jesus Christ, when you are looking at the Son of God, do you think it matters where you are? Do you think it matters what kind of floor you're kneeling on? You are in the presence of God. And I bet those wise men, all they could say was, wow. Wow. This boy, in his simple clothing, by his young mother, wow. This is the King of Kings. They didn't take back the gifts. They freely gave and worshiped. Because he is someone special. And if we could have asked them, hey guys, after all that time, after that long journey, after all this waiting, all this struggle, was it worth it? I guarantee the answer would be yes, yes, yes. We would do it again and again. Because he is worth it. You know, we'll probably never know all the facts about the wise men. And there will continue to be traditions and stories. But I think we can learn a thing or two from these visitors from the East. We can learn something about seeking. They knew what they were looking for. And they went. What about us? Do we know? Will we seek Jesus Christ? Will we look for Him? Here's the good news. We don't have to travel 1,000 miles. We don't have to follow a star. We just need to open our eyes. Open our hearts. Open God's Word. And where will you find Him? Where will you find Jesus? Well, friends, again, we have an advantage that these men did not. We find Jesus everywhere. You see, the King of Kings, the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Ruler of the Earth, he didn't just stay in that house in Bethlehem, did he? No. He died on a cross. And he came back to life. And he sent his Holy Spirit. We find him everywhere. We find him in celebration. We find him in tragedy. We find him in places of worship. We find him in quiet corners of the earth. We find him in crowds. We find him in isolation. We find him in hospital rooms where loved ones are breathing their last breath. We find him in the birth of a new child. We find him everywhere. We've just got to open our eyes, open our hearts, and realize that the Son of God has never left. that these wise men weren't the first. They might have been the first Gentiles to see him, but they're certainly not the last. And here's the greatest news of all. You see, as we open our eyes, as we open our hearts, we also realize that the King of all kings, the Savior, the Messiah, he's seeking you. Perhaps you've seen that sign during Christmas we see a lot, wise men and wise women still seek him. Well, friends, that's only half the truth. Because he is seeking you. He loves you. He wants to be with you. We could ask the wise men, is it hard to follow Christ? Is the journey difficult? Absolutely. There's no promise that it's going to be easy. But as the wise men would probably tell us today, it is always, always worth it to follow Jesus. Amen.